Now to the other side of Libya, much less is known about the West, both in the capital, Tripoli, and other cities and towns. There have been reports of some cities switching sides between pro-Gaddafi forces and the rebels. But the Gaddafi government seems in firm control of Libya's western border with Tunisia, and Gaddafi has been restricting access, including to journalists. NPR correspondent David Green, along with producer Jim Wildman, approached the Libyan border just a few hours ago.
This is one very locked-down border. We're just crossed out of Tunisia to talk to the Libyan officials, and the place is amazingly quiet, in part because we're told that the Libyans are not even letting Tunisians go by without getting some sort of visa and putting some money down, and usually it is easy for Tunisians to go back and forth across into Libya. We're also told that some international aid workers, some doctors, were refused at this border, so as far as we can tell, Libya has completely shut off this part of the country to people wanting to come in and see what's going on. Salam.
Salam.
Is English okay? Or a little?
Okay.
That was an intimidating hand wave. Go away. Well, we were just refused at the Libyan border. The guards were, I guess, polite at first, but when we tried to ask too many questions, we got the stiff shoe away with a gun sort of motion towards us. And now it's back to Tunisia. We're walking across this sort of dusty road with that's just us and some stray dogs barking, and off we go back to Tunisia. We'll try again.
David Green joins us now from that border crossing halfway between Thehiba, Tunisia, and Nahloot, Libya. David, what do you hear from people who are coming out of Libya?
Well, I'll tell you, Scott, not many people are coming out of Libya, and not many people are going in either. And this border crossing, it's usually pretty active, people say. There's a lot of commerce going on. Tunisians will go across into Libya. They'll fill up their car with very cheap gas. They'll drive back over to Tunisia, and they'll empty their car, and they'll sell the gas at much higher prices. But that commerce has been shut down. They're not letting people really go in either direction. We did speak to a group of Bangladeshi migrant workers, about 20 of them, who came across a little while ago. They had been working in the city of Ghadames in western Libya, and they said up until a few days ago there were anti-Gaddafi protests each night, and there was stone throwing, fires being set by pro- and anti-Gaddafi supporters kind of fighting in the streets. That's calmed down now. It's a much more tense scene. Police have control of the city, they said. These Bangladeshis just wanted to get out. They said it has not been a friendly place for outsiders. A worker from Mali was shot in the street over the last few days, and these guys said they have very little access to food. People in shops are saying, if you're not Libyan, we're not going to feed you. Go back to Bangladesh.
How do they get back to Bangladesh?
That's a good question. I mean, over the period of this week, in the beginning, the refugee camps, especially up at a northern border crossing a few hours north of here, were just jam-packed. I mean, as many as 80, 90,000 people have crossed, refugees from Libya into Tunisia. The UN says that things are starting to loosen up. They're getting people out. The United States military has offered its assistance to fly people out. But Bangladeshis remain the biggest problem. I mean, there are thousands of them still in Libya. The Bangladesh government has told them they might have to stay, which might be really rough if they can't get food. And we saw what looked almost like a sad march out of one refugee camp yesterday, just thousands of Bangladeshis being moved from one refugee camp to another. No buses, no cars. I mean, they were just walking kilometers with their suitcases on their heads under a really glaring sun.
And what's the conversation, the feel like in those refugee camps? Talk about events or politics, or people just want something to eat and get a good night's sleep?
It's been a lot of politics, Scott. I mean, people are very willing to talk about the events in this part of the world. They seem to be getting the food they need. They're not sure of their future. But we talked to, Egyptians, Tunisians, and others, and, even people from Bangladesh, from Ghana. I mean, it's people are paying attention to what's going on. Certainly their lives have been thrown into upheaval by what's happening in Libya. But most people we ask, they say it's worth it.
And when they say it's worth it, do they mean the salaries they earn?
No, I think they like what's going on. I mean, they've been paying attention to the news, especially the Egyptians who we spoke to. A lot of Egyptian workers who were working inside Libya and have been now forced to leave. I mean, they've lost jobs, in theory, in Libya. We spoke to one gentleman who worked at a bakery outside Tripoli, and his parents in Egypt were saying, get home, it's too dangerous there. And he landed at the refugee camp yesterday with just nothing. I mean, no money. And we said, do you wish you could be back in Libya? And he was like, no, I support what those people people are doing. And if that sort of, you know, has driven me out and made my life difficult right now, you know, I'll take that if, you know, to support their cause.
And NPR's David Green speaking with us from a border crossing between Tunisia and Libya. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
And you can go to our website, npr.org, for the latest news from the region, as well as an interactive guide to the protests and uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa.